So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here at Wrestling Weekly. Welcome, guys. It's August.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, yes.
14th of August.
It's the August 14th show. Welcome, guys. We've got a great show for you tonight.
Well, we'll have to let them judge that at the end of at 10 o'clock or whatever time, the end of the 2 hours.
yeah, you guys.
I'll tell you what. We just got in today. We've been on the road since the second week. You know, last week we did the show from Charlotte.
Yes.
And then we've been all, you know, visiting relatives and family, and niece had a new baby, and one thing and another. And so the one thing I didn't realize when I did the show from Charlotte last Tuesday, that last Thursday and Friday in Charlotte is going to be 104 degrees.
Oh man.
And a record. I know several people at the NWA convention, which was a lot of fun. But George Scott and Ole and Penny Banner and Rip Hawk and some people, you know, I said, gosh, do we ever work in heat like this? Because, you know, we did outdoor shows in the summer there, you know, June, July, and August.
Yeah.
And nobody ever, well, I forget how many years it had been since. But on Thursday now, I was at the convention all day Friday, so I wasn't attuned to the television and the news, but on Thursday, it was actually 2 degrees hotter in Charlotte than it was in Las Vegas. Yeah, I mean,
gosh.
It was just stifling hot, 104. I guess it hit 100 here in Cincinnati, but we weren't here for it. It's like 92 today, I think, which is almost cool compared to other.
Yeah, they usually have the ocean cooling things off over there.
Do what now?
They're usually pretty close to the ocean, so it's a little bit cooler there usually.
What's cool close to the ocean?
North Carolina.
Well, North Carolina, well,
yeah.
It's next to South Carolina.
Right.
But Charlotte's not. Charlotte's is 100 and I'm not sure. Hold on, I'll ask.
That's
my wife. How far is Charlotte from the ocean?
That's his wife on Wrestling Weekly, guys.
170?
Huh?
About 3.5 hours. Yeah, so there's no ocean breezes, Doc, coming
okay.
in. Yeah, I mean, unless it's a hurricane or something.
My geography's all messed up, that's all.
Huh?
My geography's all messed up, that's
had,
all.
Had a great time there, met David, still real to me. Him and his wife.
The crying wrestling fan.
Yeah, talked to a lot of people that listened to the show. And the crazy thing was, there were so many people there that I didn't get to see or didn't get to talk to.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, when you got a big convention like that, I mean, there's, what, hundreds of
gosh, yeah.
talent
I,
there.
I mean, you know, and I mean, like I say, the list that I didn't see is probably longer than the list that I did see. A lot of it was, you know, well, they did the banquet on Friday night, which was a lot of fun. Cornette was the host, and Jimmy, of course, is always very funny, and you know, they acknowledged it in terms of plaques and awards, Rip Hawk and Sweet Hansen, which was a great heel tag team. Rip was, of course, the first tag team partner for Ric Flair when he came into the Carolinas in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet has passed away, but talk about feeling old, Sweet's daughter, who has two children of her own, was there and came up, and we were talking about when she was just a tiny girl, we used to play flag football on Sundays. A bunch of the baby faces get together at Sweet's house, and which was kind of crazy when you had a couple pro ball players like strong. Anyway, but, you know, it was just, saw, hadn't seen Rip Hawk in Lord Knows When. And just, it was Bob Cottle after the two heart attacks was there. He was presented with an award. It's called the Hall of Legends. And, you know, it was just a great time. I had a great time.
Did they have a show, the reunion?
Well, they had a show Saturday night and a show Sunday night. I didn't see either one of them.
Really?
No.
Busy. There's that much to do.
Well, we left Sunday to go up to Maggie Valley, up in the mountains where my wife grew up, and then on Saturday night when I left the convention, we went to Monkey Joe's, honey. Yeah, Monkey Joe's with our granddaughter for her sixth birthday.
What's Monkey Joe's?
An indoor play. Yeah, well, we didn't play. But anyway, so
it's an indoor,
we covered the spectrum.
It's an indoor playland?
Yeah.
And it's called Monkey Joe's?
Yes.
That's interesting.
It's like the big inflated things to climb on and jump on.
I want to go play there.
You want to go play there?
Yeah.
Doc? Well, you can go play there, I guess. They had adults play there, didn't they? They had people bigger than us play it there.
Sweet.
Which surprised, seriously, a lot of the adults were climbing around with their kids on this thing.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
We've got tonight on the show, guys, Pitbull number one, Gary Wolf, is going to be here with us. Of course, one of the original ECW members from back in the good old days, 10 years ago. Also on the show tonight, we are debuting a new Hot Topic correspondent. A lot of you people already are familiar with the name, know who he is. His name is Adam Martin, and he runs WrestleView.com.
He's Mr. and Mrs. Martin's son, right?
Yes.
Hey, I did that.
But he also runs WrestleView.com.
Okay.
And he's going to be the one of our new Hot Topic correspondents. So we're just
cool.
We're just
and Bruce Mitchell will be back with us, too.
Excellent.
I had a chance to talk with Bruce during the convention. Mike Johnson from Insider was there. Brett Swain, who owns Wrestling Clothesline, mm-hmm. that website, where I do Ask the Expert, we talked. And, I'm going to spend a little time with both of these. We have two deaths just in the last couple of days, and I was very familiar and friendly with both these people. And Bronco Lubich, I'm not sure how old Bronco was.
He was 81.
81. All right. Anyway, my first recollection of Bronco, he was managing Randy Poffo.
Angelo Poffo.
Angelo Poffo, Randy's dad, Randy Savage's dad.
Yes.
They here in, you know, in this for the Barnett Doyle office. This was back when Barnett first started promoting here around 58, 59. Actually, they set a tennis record here at Cincinnati Gardens. I can't tell you the exact year, but it was Angelo with Bronco as his manager against Yukon Eric. Then I had the opportunity to wrestle quite often Bronco Lubich in the Carolinas starting in 63. A very soft-spoken gentleman. He was a heel. He and Aldo Bogner were one of the top heel teams in the Carolinas. I was telling some fans in Charlotte, I said, you know, I'd wrestled some tag matches my first time to wrestle in the Carolinas. It was in 1963. The territory was always so high class that if you didn't have a reputation or they didn't know you, you had to have references to get in there. And George and Sandy Scott and two gentlemen named Johnny Heidemann and Jim Grabmeier, who I'd worked with around this area, actually went to bat for me there. But anyway, had the opportunity to work with Bronco Lubich and Aldo Bogdan, one of the top heel teams there. And it was like tag team college because probably Wrestling Review magazine was the wrestling magazine at the time. Mm-hmm. And they listed, you know, the top 20 tag teams and this junior heavyweights and heavyweights and so forth. And I would almost guess that probably through the 60s into the early 70s, if you list the top 20 tag teams, 10 of them are probably in the Carolinas, you know. So anyway, Bronco was a very soft-spoken gentleman, a class guy, worked with he and Aldo a lot, learned a lot. He was always very helpful to young guys, especially, you know, And I'll never, because he was so deadpan. So we, the referees called us together. First time he ever said it, I almost cracked up myself. And of course, you can't laugh. Kayfabe was so strong at the time, but they called us to the center of the ring for our instructions. And just very, he's looking at the referee, he was talking to me, and he said, "Hey, kid, why don't you hit me when the match first starts? That way I'll be numb for the rest of the night, and I won't have to worry about it." Meaning, you know, that he was implying that I was stiff, which I wasn't.
It was ripped.
So, yeah, thank you. Better laugh. Anyway, and of course, most of the young people remember Bronco as the referee in world class.
Right.
And he was so much more and a class gentleman. And my sympathies out to his family and my respects. Just a class guy.
Absolutely. Class guy. He was also a trainer at some point.
Beg pardon?
He was also a trainer, wrestler, referee, and trainer.
You know what? Now he may have, in Texas, he may have helped train a lot of. I mean, he was helpful, like I said, to a lot of young guys.
Mm-hmm.
Going back even into the '60s. Like I say, working with him, he was a tremendous leader in the ring to get you the right place at the right time and doing the right thing. And I learned a lot from him. Learned a lot from him. The other gentleman is Brian Adams. You might have known him as Crush or part of Chronic or whatever. Brian came when I got the WWE contract here in the early 2000s. He came in here, and I heard some negative, you know, about Brian's cooperation and this and that. So I really didn't know what to expect. He was here like the first week. He was here the first couple of days. He came at the end of the second day that we trained. He came into the office and said, "Les," he said, I see that you basically handle everything here yourself." And I said, "Yeah, Brian, I do." He said, "Well, you know, I'm going to be here for a while, and I want to be productive if I can help in any way." So anyway, Brian helped with finishes. Brian ran the dressing room, helped run the dressing room. Was a hard worker. I mean, regardless of his background, you know, that he had been there, done that. He ran all the drills. He was practiced every day with us. Had a great sense of humor. In fact, he got in such good shape. I forget who it was. One of the guys who had known him for a long time came in, and he was down around 260. Now, this is a big guy. I said, "Man, I've never seen you." So he said, "Yeah, it's the best shape I've been in since I was a kid, at around 260. And we made a joke out of it. So we were getting ready for a run to cruiserweight title. But Brian was just a good guy. I can't say enough good things about him. So he helped with the booking. He helped with the dressing room. A guy who could have sat back and said, "Well, I'm not going to do these drills. This is for the new guys and stuff." He was right in there busting his hump with everybody else. My relationship with him was totally positive. And again, Kai's 44 years old. That's just too damn young.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I don't know what it'll be. I haven't been around a TV or.
Right.
You know.
You've been on the road.
Yes. And I understand that last night was a comedy show on Raw. I don't, whether it was or not. But anyway, Brian was a good guy. I miss him and Bronco as well. And my sympathies and my condolences and heartfelt condolences go out to both their families.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess they did the autopsy, and as it stands right now, there's no preliminary cause of death. So of course they go into the second stage. It's toxicology, tissue testing, things like
right.
that. And you know that takes a while. It could be weeks.
Sure.
You know. If we have anything, of course, keep checking WrestlingWeekly.com. We check that stuff out daily.
A crazy thing. Last week we talked about the TNA pay-per-view and mentioned Angle's wife.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't. Then when I saw the show on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
I knew the finish for Sunday. And virtually everyone that I talked to at the convention on Friday and Saturday also knew the finish
right.
for Sunday. Again, this is, you know, and of course the Pac-Man thing, and now they're saying that it's going to, I just saw on the internet, we just been home a couple hours
mm-hmm.
Today, and so I've been rushing around trying to get ready for the show tonight and get unpacked and one thing another. But I noticed where he's saying that Pac-Man is going to be Killing's partner against Angle. And would this mean that TNA has bought the NFL now, or what?
This is the rumor that he's going to team with
How
Killing.
How can he? We've been down. You know what? See, and the stupid thing is, and when I say stupid, and somebody can say he's picking on TNA. No, you know, it's not about picking on anybody. It's the NFL here. I think we talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. This guy has got far. He's going to make, I don't know, in terms of times, 100 times, 10 times, 50 times is more money in the NFL than he's ever going to make with TNA.
Right.
Okay? So he's not going to buck. I don't care that you don't understand me, you know, the whole thing. It's just silly to consider that he's going to go against the court ruling, right?
Right.
Because if the Titans went to court with this thing, then they're serious about it, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And is he going to flush an NFL career with retirement and the kind of money we're talking about there down the toilet for him to be Ron Killen? And no offense to Ron or to Angle, you know, but is he going to give all that up to be on TNA's next pay-per-view? I don't think. I mean, to be on it, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to wrestle.
Right.
I'd almost guarantee. And I haven't talked to anybody in TNA. Well, I shouldn't say that. I talked to some people over the weekend. But see, and again, the whole finish. Angle and his wife, who we have never seen together, we have no idea that they have any problems, come out 1 week and they have problems. They're divorcing by the end of that show. That's an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the next, and then she's going to be Joe's sidekick. It's like, Jesus. Is sex this fast for you people?
Yeah.
You know, whoops, we're done. I know. It's when we had Kevin Sullivan on the show, what did we talk about? Taking time to build things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And plus that, it was, again, Ray Charles should have seen this.
Right.
I can't tell you the writers that I spoke with in Charlotte and fans, you know, serious fans who already knew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what do you think Kurt's wife? I mean, it wasn't like they say, do you think Kurt's wife's going to turn on Joe? What do you think she's going to do to it? You know, or how do you think they're going to work it? It was never a question if.
Right.
Just a question of how. You know? Now, I didn't see the pay-per-view again. I was with family and involved in that on Sunday. But I'm reading a lot of negative reviews on that, too.
Except for the Pac-Man Jones part, right? That was gold.
Oh, well, I'm sure it was, you know, where he laid down in the back and somebody pretended like they hit him. And there's the other part of that. It has been, I think, virtually well, you know, they want mainstream media, so they got mainstream media. And mainstream media told you that he can't do anything physical.
Mm-hmm.
So if he'd got knocked down, then he wouldn't be coming up for the next show.
Right.
So they basically, hey, it's a work. You know, you get my point.
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever.
I think Jim Ross put it well. He had a he spoke about this on his blog, of course, at JR'sBarbecue.com. It goes like this. It says, the rumors of Pac-Man Jones going to TNA doesn't do much for me. I don't know how Pac-Man's going to help TNA, except he might by getting their name mentioned. I don't subscribe to the philosophy that all publicity or PR is good as long as they spell your name right. Sometimes staying off the radar screen is a better way to travel, as TNA is likely to find out sooner or later. But hey, if it works, good for them, and I'm not holding my breath that this is the way to go.
Yeah, I don't see it as anything positive, you know? And again, it's not like, what you going to do? Play classical piano? Tap dance? I mean, read poetry? Because he can't wrestle, because he can't be hit or hit, right? And so to start saying now, well, he might be wrong. I mean, where that started, I don't have a clue. He's going to be killing his partner, except that I realized that on the tapings last night, I did read that they were walking out, and Eric Young made some, you know, one of his comedic remarks about Tupac Man wanting his autograph on his jersey or something, and Killings punched him or something, which I'm not sure. But see, that's the whole thing. The world knows that Pac-Man can't be physical.
Right.
So are we all on the edges of our seat, biting our nails, worrying that Pac-Man might actually get hit and lose his NFL career. No,
right.
I don't think so.
And now this has gotten so much mainstream publicity that even if they, you know, reverse this judge's order that Pac-Man can't be touched, everybody's going to know about that before it happens anyway.
Well, sure, exactly. See, and again, you know, that's something I talked to some young wrestlers while I was in Charlotte as well, you know, and promoters and stuff. And I, one of the things that I talk about in my camps and my seminars and stuff is yes, kayfabe is dead. I didn't do it, but it's dead.
Right.
do I wish it weren't? Yeah, to a certain degree, and then to a certain degree, I see the value in it, you know, because we can talk like we're talking now.
Right.
And explain what the business should be or shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the major weapon that our industry as a whole has today is the element of surprise.
Right.
You know, and so this whole thing, there can't be, as you said, there can't be possibly any surprises because of the mainstream media, which
right.
is what they're shooting for to begin with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's like the dog chasing his tail.
Yeah. We'll talk a little more about this when Hot Topic comes up. Adam Martin's going to be with us for that. There's more bad news this week, of course. The Wrestling Observer is reporting that Byron Dewey Robertson, known to wrestling fans as the Missing Link,
right,
very popular in the 80s, he's very ill with cancer at a hospital in Hamilton, Ontario.
Yeah, I understand the prognosis is not good.
No, so, our thoughts go out to him.
I haven't. The last time I saw Dewey was at the Legends thing in Tampa. What was that, 2 years ago, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, and God love him. He's fighting the alcohol thing and so forth, and doing real well about it. In fact, we talked about it, and he was saying that the thing that I feel I can really contribute to young guys is that, you know, the fact that hey, this is not what you want to do or be or whatever. And so, but I haven't seen Dewey since then. I don't think I have. No, I haven't. But anyway, yeah. Gosh, I hope he survived. I mean, there again, the drugs and the alcohol. He survived, and then to be, it's kind of the story like Candido and Eddie Guerrero, for God's
right.
sakes. You know, they get past this, and then bad health. Takes its toll. Of course, Dewey is obviously a lot older than both of those guys. I'm
right.
not sure what Dewey's age is, but our best wishes obviously go out to him. Good guy, you know, and as busted his hump for the business, and I hope he survives this.
Yeah. Injuries. The Wrestling Observer is reporting that the current WWE United States Champion MVP has been diagnosed with Wolf Parkinson White syndrome.
You know, I read that somewhere, but I didn't get a real. Do you have a real explanation as to what that is?
Yeah, it's like it's what is called an abnormal accessory pathway in his heart.
Uh huh.
This was discovered during a physical. According to reports, it can cause abnormal heart rhythm, increase the risk of a heart attack. WWE is using this diagnosis to tout the company wellness policy, of course. But they held, they hold a routine cardiovascular test, of course, as part of the wellness policy
right.
two times a year. They have you run on a treadmill, and they, take an EKG, and they check the heart valves. MVP's test, they noticed the abnormal pattern. They underwent treatment this past Monday. That explains why he hasn't been on TV recently. But they're going to be taking more tests soon. To see if it was a success. So that's kind of still up in the air as to when the MVP is going to be back and in what capacity.
Right.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
The injury toll on that company has been tremendous here of late.
Yeah, and it seems like that they've been trying to scale things back in the last couple of years.
Well, see, and there again, some of the know-it-all young fans who think crashing through tables and 450 splashes are the only thing this business is made of, don't understand. There's been that negative thing about, the WWE style. And you know what? no matter what else I might say negative, the fact that they're trying to create more longevity for their athletes by cutting back on the goofy bumps, I'm up for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they eliminated ladder matches and some of that stuff, that wouldn't you know. Let me say this. I didn't make this this analogy, but I heard Al Snow tell kids one time in a seminar a number of years ago. You know, he said, I can grab a mongoloid idiot off the street, and in the course of the day, probably teach him to do a moonsault.
Mm-hmm.
What I can't teach him is how he got to that moonsault and where he's going from that moonsault.
Right.
Meaning there's, you know, so teaching the bumps, you know, and there's too many young guys believing or young fans that is wrestling, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Is it harder our way? You're damn right it is. You know, to learn the psychology and the timing and not so much what to do but when to do it and so forth is far, you know, far tougher than just taking bumps and punching and kicking. But I'm totally up with that, is to cut back on the injuries. Man, you know, do I want to see people entertained? Obviously. But are we going to, does that mean that you have to re-educate a lot of the fans? Yes. But they also had to be educated to the circus acts that are going on in the business currently.
Right.
You know, and, well, a quick example, George Scott was at the Legends thing when he took the book in Charlotte, in the early 70s. Basically, it said he was going to kill the territory because it had been a tag team territory, which was more high energy in terms of what high energy was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And pushing Johnny Valentine as a top heel. John was very methodical. I mean, he didn't get warmed up till 20 minutes in, for God's sakes.
Right.
And I remember watching the first 4 or 5, 6 months in a lot of the towns where the people couldn't sit still for that, right? And they just would walk. You know, get up and leave early.
Mm-hmm.
But I also can tell you that a year later, you know, less than a year later, we were selling out everywhere.
Right.
So does that mean if you go back to actually the psychology and the good sound basics, which doesn't mean you can't have bumps, you know, some spectacular stuff now and again, and you're going to lose some fans and re-educate some? Yes, absolutely. And you may bring some back that aren't watching this stuff that they don't care about now.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, but it evens, it'll balance itself out. It's not like the business is going to die,
right?
You know, if gay weddings and men dying on their honeymoon because they've been screwed to death and stuff isn't going to kill the business, God, nothing will. You know, you can't kill
it.
The business if that's the case. But yeah, well, the other thing, you know, that brings up in my mind too, Doc, is the fact that championship teams, and we can't. You know, years ago, you could talk about different territories, I suppose. And when I say this is not just something that happened this year, the WWE, or it hasn't happened in the past in territories.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I always looked at everything as the Boston Celtics, the New York Yankees, the you know, whatever in football, whoever it happened to be at the time, the Colts, the Giants, the, you know, the Redskins, whoever that were the dominant teams. What was one characteristic that all these franchises had when they won, when they were champions more than one, you know, over a period of time? That one thing that they all had in common was not only great starters, but they had good bench strength.
Right.
Right? Which is not the case now, and in part now I understand the ratings jumped up with Cartoon City last night.
Mm.
Okay, cool. Whatever. do I care? No. Okay? I mean, you know, that's great. Everybody, that's not my cup of tea. I'm more into the actual aspect of what we were talking about earlier in terms of what wrestling is. This, to me, cites, you know, there aren't territories. See, and that was the thing, too, years ago with territories. If you had guys go down, you could pick up the phone and call a promoter that you had worked with and say, man, I need a baby face. I need a heel, right?
Right.
And get somebody of possibly equal talent. To come in and take a few weeks and try to get those people over, you know? Now, it's not like that. It's not that easy.
No.
So to me, this says, for, you know, you've got Tampa, you've got OVW. Okay, now you need three more just like it because that's a numbers game. And you don't need to teach these guys goofy skits like I'm seeing on those TVs or how to have 3-minute matches. You actually need to teach them to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because Helmsley's not not around for 10,000 more years. Michaels, you know, Guerrero is gone. Benoit is gone. You know, that level of talent is slipping.
Right.
And the only way to replace them is not to teach guys, here, read this script and do a very stupid sophomoric vignette. Okay. No, that's not the way. It's to put them in there with talented guys and make them go put in some time and have them. And will you have to maybe pay them more to stay in your developmental? Yes, you might. But they can be, then you've got somebody to move in and try to get over, mm-hmm. you know? So that, yeah, I think that's part of the problem too, you know? I think TNA, I understand they're cutting back again, which doesn't bode well, my friend, if you get right down to it.
Right.
For the longevity of the company, although I also hear that reported somewhere in some media, magazine, website, whatever, that they and Spike were close to possibly a new contract in mm-hmm. 2 hours. Okay, but if the things don't change, 2 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours, I don't care.
Right.
You know, it's not going to pop the numbers that much. But they, but if they're in for the long run, they also need to build a reserve team. You know, a second string, if you will, or whatever. But I mean, the second string needs to be almost as good as the first string.
Right.
What do you see in a Broadway play?
Understudies.
Yeah, thank you. And they are capable of stepping in and filling in. You know, of course, we're talking about singing and acting opposed to athletic endeavor. But, you know, I think that's where these companies are missing the boat. And that's where, without the territories, that, you know, the developmental system has to kick in.
Yeah. We've got more news coming up for you guys. Also, we're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game. But, Les, it's time for our featured guest. We're going to have our featured guest in the first hour this week. And Adam Martin from WrestleView.com is going to join us in the second hour for a hot topic. But after the break, guys, we've got ECW's Gary Wolf, not ECW that you see on TV every Tuesday.
The old ECW you still might have seen it on TV. Real quick before we jump in the break, if I hadn't said already, and I was talking about the Charlotte thing, for everybody that listens to the show or downloads the show or whatever with the show, God bless you. It was a pleasure to talk to you at Charlotte and to get positive feedback that actually Doc is coherent at times. I've tickled to death.
They actually said that?
Well, no, but I did. No.
Oh.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, excellent. And I also told some people that I really didn't like you, and I hate to say that out loud publicly.
I know.
But, you know, whatever. Okay, let's go to the break.
We'll take a break, guys. We'll be back. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from WWE 24/7 Hall of Fame and a whole bunch of other things like that. As a matter of fact, I'm working out of the back seat of my car right now, reminding you that you're listening to Wrestling Weekly with my very dear, close, personal, longtime friends, Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Keep it up. They got a great show. I think you're going to love it forever. Work it.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
MadManiacs.com.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher, back with you guys at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest for tonight. He is, of course, a member of the original Extreme ECW. Pitbull number one, Gary Wolf, is with us tonight. Gary, I want to thank you for being on the show. It's your first time.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, it might be my second. I did a... an interview before, but it's glad, I'm glad to be on Wrestling Weekly and the Pitbulls in the house.
Thank you, sir. We're glad to have you.
We were talking just before we came on the air, Doc, that Gary and Anthony, the Pitbulls, were in here for me at HWA in around 97. And, of course, that was at the time you weren't with ECW, right, Gary? But you were just in the process of sealing a deal with WCW.
Yeah, we had left ECW, we were on our way out, maybe, and we were getting ready to sign a 3-year deal with WCW, yeah. They were going to book us the December Christmas pay-per-view against the Steiner Brothers. That was going to be our debut.
And you know, a lot of people talk about, of course, Sabu and Van Damme and Shane and, of course, Terry Funk. Tommy Dreamer, the singles guys in the old ECW, but there was a strong tag team lineup then too. I mean,
oh yeah, the tag team was like unbelievable. I mean, at that time Vince was getting rid of tag teams, and we were like thriving in tag teams.
Yeah,
I mean it was insane. And then our single guys would tag, especially Tommy Dreamer. He would tag with me and my partner, the Pitbulls, against the Funk Brothers and Cactus Jack, or DOA, the Bruise Brothers,
right,
and Brian Lee. So Tommy Dreamer always tugged with us, you know. So we integrated a lot.
And of course, Perry Saturn. And
oh yeah, yeah. They were the Eliminators. Perry and Cronus. We just lost Cronus, and that's a
right.
Shame.
You know? What do you ever see Perry? What is he up to these days?
The last time I seen Perry was when I went in for TNA. For a short period of time, and the last thing I heard is he broke his neck, and I don't know, honestly, I really don't know what happened to him. I'm actually concerned.
And he just kind of dropped off the face of the earth, didn't he? I mean, as far as anybody in the business is concerned.
Well, I know he was injured, but I mean, I don't know whether or not, you know, what his complications were. Like, nobody was able to.
Yeah. Yeah, you, how long were you and Anthony together?
Oh, since 1988.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We even went to school together.
Is that right?
Yeah, man, we graduated from the same high school.
Were you friends in high school? Or?
Yeah, we actually, I think it was when I was my senior year, I really started hanging out with him more. We started actually working out together. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't into working out yet. I was already lifting. And he decided, you know, hey, you know, why don't I start training? We started training. Next thing you know, we're sneaking in the Wildwood Civic Center, wrestling in the ring. During the day before the WWF guys even got there. And it was me, my partner, Big Slam, he used to be called Crybaby Waldo, and the actual Leatherface. That's on television now in the movies.
How did you manage to get in there to do this?
We worked security.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so we, like, and we saw it, and we were lifters at the time, and we were like, wait a minute, man. We like to fight, and we're in shape, you know? So, and British Bulldogs were, like, one of our idols, so we were like, let's do it, man. Screw it.
And you guys had a finish that was just spectacular. What, I forget what you called it.
Super Bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Justin Thunderlager gave me that in Japan, in New Japan.
So it's a power bomb off the top rope.
Baby. Yeah, it's called the Super Bomb.
Excellent looking.
Yeah. Yeah. I might bring it back because I have put a tag team together in my school called Team Pit. I manage them at Pro Wrestling Unplugged. And all you listeners out there can go to the website, prowrestlingunplugged.com, and you'll also see that we're having a show next Saturday, August 18th.
Yeah, and you've got, I guess, the Fans Appreciation Night.
Yes.
Is what it's going to be.
Hey, let me tell you something, bro. All these other companies, okay, it's ridiculous. All these other companies didn't even have that. We came up with the idea of Fan Appreciation Night, the real deal. Mm-hmm. Fans will come in, we'll sell the building out, again, because we are taping for TV, and what we do is we give everybody votes. They write it down on a poll who they want to see in the show.
Like a ballot.
Yes.
Okay.
So then we go in the back, the office guys, and we put the whole card together on what the people want.
Wow.
So if Team Pit gets lucky and the people want to see Team Pit versus SATs, mm-hmm. you know, then we got a chance to get the gold. So,
wow,
and so forth and so on as far as Too Cold Scorpio is our heavyweight champ as of now.
Now you guys have got your own, and there's a deal, and I saw this on that website. I guess it's been a couple of years ago, and I'm not crazy. You know, I'm old school, and I'm not crazy about goofy matches. But you guys do a thing. I don't know how often, swinging from ropes and stuff too. Right?
Called the Crazy Eights. We do it once a year.
Yeah,
yeah. We hang ropes and we put the heavyweight title on all the way up to the roof. So you have to, like, it's a cage, ropes, trampolines.
Oh, my God.
We mix it up really well, so it's very entertaining. And it also puts our champion in a, you know, a difficult position because it's an unorthodox match.
Right.
It's not like a usual match.
Yeah, when I saw the video of it on the website, as a kid, I was a big Tarzan fan, you know, him swinging.
You should see it now, bro. You should check it out. Go on the site now and hit Surge. You'll see it. Parts of it, it's insane. When I first saw it, I was in shock.
ProWrestlingUnplugged.com is where you can see these at.
And now it's you are one. You along with the original owner of the original ECW, Todd Gordon, are part owners in Pro Wrestling Unplugged, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in XFC, we call it the Extreme Fight Club.
XFC, Extreme Fight Club.
Yeah, and that's my wrestling school. You know, and I'm gonna also once MMA is legal in Pennsylvania, I'll be having steel cage matches here. I'll be, you know, having my own school for that.
Oh, for mixed martial arts too?
Yeah, right now in Pennsylvania it's not legal yet.
Right.
But once it's legal, I'm doing it. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you interested in being in the matches?
What's that?
Are you interested in being in the matches or?
No, the company's going to be called XF Extreme Flight Club.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be like a UFC or a wreckage, but it's going to be on the East Coast.
But you'll be on the management side of it.
Yeah, I'm too old to fight, man. I did Pride in the early 90s, guys. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it was 88.
It wasn't even called Pride. It was called Pancrase.
Yeah, you're almost a 20-year veteran of this business now, right?
I am a 20-year veteran.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. 2008 would be, I started in 88, so I'm like two decades in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I have been in a ring with, see, I'm like in the middle generation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got stuck, I mean, I was working against Bob Orton, Ric Flair, the other Nature Boy, I mean, Abdul. I mean, I've been in the ring with Robert Fuller, mm-hmm. Matt Bourne, the Nasties. You know, I've been around, you know.
Yeah.
So I know how to work locker rooms. I mean, Ric Flair schooled me deeply. One night when I was working for Tri-State Wrestling Alliance, I was so green, it might have been like my, I don't know, 20th match, if that. And I remember he went off, man. And
what?
He was like, you know, they're already bleeding in the first match. What the hell do you expect me to do? And I'm in the main event.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I learned, shit like that, you know?
Right.
A question for you from the chat room. D-Links says, please ask Gary what he thinks about the new ECW compared to the old original ECW.
If you
had the chance, would you go to the new one?
Well, put it this way. I think the new ECW is Vince McMahon's version of ECW.
Mm-hmm.
And if Vince McMahon wants me to come and work for him, he'd be a very smart man because my product is very marketable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am the pit bull, and I'm the original pit bull. I mean, since the Junkyard Dog, I mean, I'm the baddest dog on the block.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all there is to it, brother.
I'll tell you, when you think about the pit bulls and you think about ECW, you know, just the name pit bull inspires the violence that you guys put on. Back then.
Well, yeah, we wanted to do a style that was part British Bulldog, part Guerrero. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but work Japan style mostly. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We were very snug. I mean, we shattered tables. It was like, when you saw our matches, you expected carnage.
Right.
That's how I look at it.
Who were some of the guys that you felt that you gelled with inside the ring that you had some of the best matches with?
Public Enemy,
mm-hmm.
Raven and Stevie Richards,
I think
the Funk Brothers, Terry and his brother, Dory.
Dory?
Yeah.
You miss Anthony, don't you?
Huh?
You miss Anthony, don't you?
Oh, of course. He was like my brother.
Yeah, he was a great.
But you got to remember, we were very lucky and very fortunate. We were able to go up to WWF in 1988 when we were learning and going to the Monster Factory. You know, we went up to Vince and we would work the Hart Foundation. You could actually see that on MySpace. You'll be surprised. We worked the Rougeau Brothers. We worked every tag team up there.
Yeah.
I mean, the Samoans. I mean, we were in Japan with the Samoans in the early 90s, but. But back in the late 80s, when we were just breaking in, I mean, we were very fortunate to get the experience. I mean, even the Skyscrapers, we worked the Barbarian, the Warlord. We worked everybody there. Because we did 10 squash matches just to get the experience. You know what I'm
right.
saying? But that was it. We used our real names. We didn't even use the Pitbull name.
Right.
You know?
How is Japan, as far as compared to wrestling in America? In which
Japan, you work your ass off.
Yeah.
Yeah. You talk to me after 3 weeks in Japan, bro.
Yeah.
After 2 weeks in Japan, you'll be begging me, come home, please let me come home.
If you try to work a light style in Japan, maybe a WWE sort of style match, would they boo you?
Nah. I worked for the Juggalos,
uh-huh.
Insane Clown Posse.
Mm-hmm.
You know how those fans are. They throw batteries, quarters, everything at
you. Are you serious?
Bottles, mugs. When I went to Chicago, they cheered me. Because he even warned me. He's like, Rick Steiner got booed out of the building last time he was here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just giving me a pep talk on the way over, you know, Violent J. I'm thinking, this guy's trying to, like, worry me, you know?
Right.
I walked out of there. I didn't say a word. They even sent me out first, and they healed was out second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I just sat back and just absorbed Ben, and before you know it, those people were screaming, real pit bull.
And nobody was throwing batteries.
No! They were loving it, man.
Not a battery in sight.
Nah, man. They would, no, the fans of wrestling wouldn't disrespect me like that.
Uh-huh.
That's how I feel.
We a question from the chat room. They're asking how you felt when WWE named Kid Cash and Jamie Noble the Pit Bulls.
I was pissed because I felt that they were riding my coattails,
mm-hmm.
and they were trying to. You know, the Pit Bulls are the Pit Bulls. There's only one Pit Bull. You know, all these other guys are phony, and they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was on television as the Pit Bull, their mom was wiping their ass. Cleaning their butts. They had to take to change their diapers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I just get my lawyer to send them a cease and desist, and they stopped.
They
tried
really?
To do it again. Why do you think you did a job for a midget?
Uh-huh.
What does that tell you?
Right.
I was on the road with Ricky Steamboat and Bob Orton, bro.
Uh-huh.
Come on, man. You gotta show. I was taught the true meaning of pro wrestling. How to respect everybody. I don't have no bridges burned.
Mm-hmm. Were you at the original ECW One Night Stand?
Yes, I was. I did a memorial for all the guys that passed.
How was the what was the atmosphere like over there?
It was rough, bro.
Yeah.
And when I was cutting that promo, man, there was guys crying all over the place.
Oh yeah,
it was crazy. And it was hard for me to do because I usually, you know me, I'm one take, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it took me a couple of takes because it was just difficult because of the fact that I'm seeing guys crying because they were upset. You know, I can imagine how it is now. I mean, I ask myself every day, I'm like, oh, the ECW locker room, everybody was happy. I go to WCW, unhappy. I go to WWF, unhappy. I mean, I'm looking at these guys and I'm saying they're making all this money and they're miserable.
Right.
Why? What is going on here? I mean, it's a profession. It's a gimmick. I mean,
you know, Gary, the camaraderie thing has diluted over the years. I know I was just in Charlotte over that the Legends thing this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that was something a lot of us were talking about. You know, and the fact if you know you're locked in a car with a guy 300-400 miles every day, 6 days a week, or a bunch of guys, whatever the case may be. By God, you either get along and, you know, and you gel or there's problems, you know, and I think that's what a lot of the kids miss today too, is not that constant bonding. And
well, you know why? Because they're living day to day.
Yeah.
If we would stand up and start a union, I mean, they're making enough money they could pitch in for the union. They won't be miserable in that car because they'll know when they're done and they're ready to retire, they got it set. They're going to have a paycheck every week. They got their house paid for, and they got it set. So if they had a union, guys wouldn't be miserable. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And Bret Hart and Larry King was honest. All them other guys, and Jericho's a friend of mine, okay?
Right.
They were all kissing Vince's ass, okay? Because Benoit's my boy. And I've always known him. I've been in Japan with him. I worked for him in ECW. I worked with him. And Anthony was very close. And I mean, nobody could say anything about us. We were all close.
Right.
It was a clique. Eddie, Dean, Jericho, me and Anthony. We're all, you know, we're all like boys. And Owen Hart. It's ridiculous that they're all dying, man. Tell me wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree.
You know, like I said, and if they make enough money over there, come on, can't say they're not making enough money. If they could put a couple dollars away every week, and they know when they're done, they have something to come back on. That's what the problem is. I mean, we're all struggling here.
Right.
We shouldn't be. When SAG has a union, the soccer league has a union, every professional sport other than pro wrestling has a union. Doesn't make any sense. Even the stuntmen have a union. So why shouldn't we?
Right.
We're entertainers.
I agree with you 100%. And you know what? I spent 47 years in this business. I've heard this. Well, and I've talked.
I've been hearing it since 1988, dude.
Yeah.
Nothing's been done.
And I've talked to guys that were, you know, around before my time even, and every time it comes up, it comes down basically to this, is that the guys who are making a lot don't want to rock the boat, and the guys underneath, well, of course, anymore, there's not a lot of promotions, but years ago, and I've heard this story, that, you know, the preliminary guys, you know, the thing would be just like, well, like shops that try to keep unions out, saying, well, you know, if it doesn't get voted through and you vote for it, then that may create a problem for you employment-wise, you know. So,
well, that, then we call them guys whores.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're not respectful to us.
I
mean, I've been around 4 years. I respect Ricky Steamboat. I respect Ric Flair. I respect Terry Funk. They taught Robert Fuller. All them guys, Matt Bourne, John Studd, they taught me the business, and I was a young buck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was in North Carolina working 6 nights a week, making $75 a night. So I paid my dues, you know, with the Nasties and all them guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But I wish it would, you know what? I wish it had a long time ago than I'd ever.
I mean, these guys out there work for free.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't believe it. I mean, I used to work for, the least check I ever got was $15. But I was green as hell. Mm-hmm. Green as grass. But still, you know, I didn't whore myself out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, and of course the thing with no territories anymore creates a big problem too. I know, you know, I broke in July the 4th, 1960, and I was able to make a living from that point on.
If we do a union, it's either going to help Vince McMahon, because we'll have salary caps.
Sure.
Like unions do. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That might
sure.
save him money. You know what I mean? He may not be for it, but, I mean, you know, but nowadays the government, I heard, might be investigating. There's too many wrestlers that died.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chris just passed. The other guy just passed this past week. Crush?
Yeah, but, Brian Adams, right.
Yeah, Brian Adams. I mean, come on now. He was 43.
Right.
You know, now, how's his family going to survive after he killed his body? How is
sure.
his, I mean, I don't know if he has a wife and the kids, but... If he did, how are they going to survive now?
Right.
See, that's bull, man. I don't understand that.
You know, I just saw last Sunday on Outside the Lines on ESPN, Chris Nowinski, you know, who played football at Harvard, then wrestled for WWE. I had him here with me for a while. And a doctor, you know, Nowinski wrote a book on, in fact, we had him on the show about, you know, post-concussion syndrome.
Yeah, I actually saw that on HBO.
Yeah, and this doctor who, you know, who is a brain surgeon, for God's sakes, has taken some of these football NFL guys who have committed suicide. Their families have allowed him to take the brains, and anyway, their findings were, you know, that the concussions had a lot to do with the mental problems and the creating. You know,
and we don't wear helmets, my man.
Exactly, the suicidal thing. So, but the crazy thing is now the NFL is trying to downplay that, right, and say, well, you know, here we've got to, you know, but then that's the case too. You can find two doctors, and they may not agree totally on everything. But
then you sit down, you find a mediator who makes a decision.
Sure,
right.
That's how you do it.
But, you know, I thought, well, this is insane. I mean, the NFL has been around. They've got a union. They've got a players, you know, the whole nine yards, and yet they're trying to say, well, it's okay to have a concussion, basically. And, of course,
well, if you're able to pay somebody $130 million contract, I guess you could probably beat that for a couple of years before
you're
not have to stand up to it. You know what I mean? But, I mean, our wrestling profession, I mean, we're not making that kind of money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No.
I mean, we're making, I mean, Hulk Hogan made it possible for guys to make the money they're making.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since WCW is not around no more, they're definitely not making the money they were making before.
No, that was a fact. Well, you know yourself, we were just talking earlier. I mean, when there was competition, the contracts were bigger because there were guys outbidding each other, you know, or that way they were trying to anyway. So that, you know, that made it better for the boys to a great degree. And now it's, you know, basically might as well say there's only one game in town in terms of making any large sums of money.
Oh, yeah, boy, but it's consistent work. I mean, you're probably on the road, like I'm friends with Sandman. He's on the road 5 days a week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's all alone. You know, he's the only ECW guy, I think, on Raw, I think.
That's pretty consistent, yeah.
I mean, and it's very competitive up there.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I mean, everybody wants to be main event because they know main event, you get paid the most.
Exactly.
Definitely. Gary, we're going to have to run. We're running out of time here. Guys, I want you to check out ProWrestlingUnplugged.com. It's
also, guys, I don't want to interrupt, but I have my first MySpace.
Excellent. What's your MySpace?
Real Pitbull.
MySpace.
Gary Wolf, the Real Pitbull, number one, at MySpace.
All right.
You get talk to Corey, my agent, and he'll give you all the information. If you need.
Excellent. It's Fan Appreciation Night down at PWU this weekend. That's August 18th. 7:30 p.m. It's at the new Aubra Arena, formerly the ECW Arena in Philadelphia. And
Nikolai will be singing our national anthem.
Excellent.
Like he did for Vince.
Did
you guys know he stole our American Idol gimmick?
Yeah.
We had it like 3 months since
well,
now.
don't let them find out about the loop rope thing. The match that you guys were talking about.
Oh, we always have a red carpet every year, every September.
Gary, I want to thank you for being on the show.
No problem, guys. I appreciate it. And all my fans out there, stay hardcore. Take care of the dogs, man. Take care.
Gary, bless your heart. The best of luck to you. Always a pleasure, my friend. Come back and visit with us again.
Absolutely. Love talking to you guys.
All right, brother.
Later, bro.
Pitbull number one, guys. Gary Wolf here on Wrestling Weekly. Got a lot more news coming up, of course. We've got more injury news to get to. Also, we're going to find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game from last week. Les, what do you think your chances are?
I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll find out all that in the second hour here. And, of course, Adam Martin from WrestleView.com is going to be joining us as the new one of our new Hot Topic correspondents. So that's going to be all fun stuff. But we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we got more news for you. So stick around. Wrestling Weekly with Les Thatcher and me, myself, Doc Young.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Here's the latest news and information.
information on total nonstop action wrestling, it's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNA. TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you guys at Wrestling Weekly here. Les, my
Doc.
Good friend.
The gig that I've been plugging that I'm doing in Detroit on the 25th has been canceled. We're going to set up another date. They had some problem with the building double booked or whatever it was. It's going to be with the Rage Dojo, so. I won't be making the gig in Detroit on the 25th, but we're going to book it for a later date.
Okay, so we'll have to change that on your official website.
Yes, you will.
LesThatcher.com.
That means that, Doc, within the next year or so, we'll get on that website.
You will see that soon.
Yes.
Someday.
And I keep thinking there's going to be some pictures coming of George Scott and Bob Caudle and myself and that some people took. And they were going to send them to me, and I thought, yeah, okay, and I'd love to put them on the website, but.
But I'm technologically.
Yes, if anybody knows how to put nice pictures in the right manner on a website, contact Doc.
He is sitting
on a year or more worth of my pictures that have yet to see the light of day. Now, he can put, if you have a square, which is an inch by an inch, he can keep replacing pictures every week, as he does on our site.
Yes.
But to add new pictures with captions, you don't have a friggin' clue.
I am not HTML gifted.
Well, anyway, I am totally not, man. I mean, to write an email and do a weekly column on a website is kind of my limitations.
Right. Now, I did see Raw last night, but I recorded it because I saw our good friend, Matt, who was also Rosie, of course, in WWE, on Fat March last night on ABC.
Yes, and Sam,
and
the massage therapist, is also a wrestler. Who we got Matty on next week, is that right?
Matt, yes, he's going to be on next week.
Yeah,
he's going to
and,
talk about the show with
and
us.
His knee was bothering him, but he lost a lot more weight this week.
A ton.
Yeah.
I
tell you, you know what, let me say that, you know, I've as a personal trainer, working with people with weight problems, I work with Matty. You know, and Umaga, when they were with me a year, as a matter of fact, we worked on their weight. And these people are really busting their humps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really are. And I was thinking, and I'm going to tell Matty next week, too, that water thing that they won. I thought, you big asshole, if you lose this, I'm coming up to Miami Township, which is 10 minutes up the road, and kicking your butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because I just figured, you know, now I didn't know what the girl was going to, you know, I didn't know her part of it, but I thought, he, you know, there's no possible way he's going to drop that.
Right. And he was the first one chosen for that, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now, I would have chosen him first, too. Yeah, him or
but,
Sam.
But see, you know, and the knee was bothering him, and then he focused. You know, he got a little shaky, and then he focused. And that's, you know, and that, but see, that's the other thing. That is competitive. And to make it in this business, you need that kind of. And when I say that, I don't mean go out and tear your knee up and then go walk 500 miles.
Right.
You know, but I mean, you've got to give something to get something.
Will.
You know, and he understands that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I think it was cool that he didn't vote anybody off. I wasn't sure if they would or they wouldn't, and I think the camaraderie of that, you know.
Yeah, I really didn't think Matt was going to vote anybody off, but I was wondering about some of the other guys. Of
two of the two guys were kind of jawing at each other, and
yeah.
The one girl that seemed to, you know, nobody thought she was funny, although she was trying
yeah.
to be.
I got to say, this episode was a lot better than the original.
Listen,
the
you know
debut.
What, though? Here's the thing. Every time you vote somebody off, you're costing yourself $10,000, too.
Right.
So as long as these people are digging in and aren't, I mean, as long as, you know, they're not hanging on to your sweatshirt and want you to pull them up a 90% grade, you know,
mm-hmm.
I say don't vote any, you know, in terms of the financial deal, unless they're just, you know, dragging everybody down.
Right. That's kind of the,
you
know,
and,
you
know,
the
thing with the food. See, that was the other thing, too, when they set the meals out last night. And they gave you, you know, you've got to focus. I went through that with bodybuilding, you know, to prepare for a bodybuilding competition that I did. It was a 16-week process. And in that 16 weeks, when I talk about focus, there's doing competitive bodybuilding is 24/7 because,
right.
You know, it's how you sleep, it's how you train, it's how you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And did I want, you know, but yeah, sure, but am I going to cough up all this hard work? You know, and I'll tell you the truth. I blow my diet after shows when I first start competing. Then I realize, well, that's going to set me back for the next show too.
Right.
So I might splurge the night after the show, right? And have, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'd go back to a pretty decent diet. You know, I mean, because it's and again, you know, all the weight loss pills and all the exercise equipment you see at 4 a.m. you know, on an infomercial.
Mm-hmm.
None of that's worth a damn. If the person using it isn't focused and dedicated, you know?
And right. You can have all the exercise
sure.
equipment you want, but
and you know, and I'm thinking too for people that are healthy and people that are in good shape
like
to go do what these people are doing would be pretty cool. But but for these people, who for the most part, Maddie and Sammy, again, I told you, you know, when I worked with Sam, he mentally wanted to be a great wrestler, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted, but he didn't, obviously didn't have the wind, the gas,
right.
and the tank. I mean, because of the weight problem. And that's what I told him. I said, Sam, you've got to dump some of this weight. You know, so yeah, it's you know, you got to focus and you got to give. And these people, you know, and especially the ones that aren't athletes or
right.
have never been athletes. You know.
I've been working on my own my own version of Fat March, Les.
Have you?
Yeah.
You know what? I need to. I honestly do.
I know. You berated me over the winter for being too big. Like, you had come out to the No Second Chances show that we did in October, and I was kind of big back then. I had gotten up, I think, around Christmas time to about 198.
Whoa.
Yes. I'm 5'8".
I know.
And I gotten up to about 198, and I was like, whoa, something's got to change. So, you know, I've been working out and things like that.
Well, but you know, see, that. It depends where that 198's at, too. Where it's
it was all on my belly.
Right. You realize that there are some competitive bodybuilders that if you're just going by the scale for the United States Army, right?
Right.
What's healthy, they couldn't be in the Army because
mm-hmm.
they would be considered overweight when basically what they're carrying is muscle weight, you know?
Right.
So, and
mine was not muscle, friend.
No, I know. And a lot of mine's not now either. Of course, at this point in my life, I've been in shape. Well, I was a skinny kid till I had my tonsils out at age 7. Then I got to be a chunky kid, and then I leaned out again when I started high school. And
then you look like Schwarzenegger in your 50s.
Yeah. Or, well, not hardly. Not like Arnold or Arnold's wallet for that matter. I'd prefer to look like his wallet than him anyway. At this point. But anyway, you know, I think, boy, I need to get, you know, I'm still working out and stuff, but I honestly, I'm carrying, you know, a little bit too much baggage. And but then I think, hey, Les, you kind of earned to do this.
Right.
You know, I'm not getting ready for any competitions, and I'm not going to go 60 minutes with Dory Jr. or Harley. So, you know, but
right.
Anyway, yeah. The people at the Fat March, I think, is, you know.
Yeah. I just want to look better. So yeah. I'm down to, like, 169.
Yeah?
Yeah. So
good for you.
I want to get down to 160 and then poke it with some muscle. But it's not been easy, of course, because, you know, I was always the kind of person that could eat whatever he wanted and I wouldn't gain anything. And then it just all came at once.
Right.
So,
well, you know, that's, yeah, exactly. You're
yeah.
right. My metabolism switched shift gears once I passed 30, and it was tougher for me to stay in shape.
Yeah.
It was like to put the weight on. When I started training for to be a pro at 19, man, I, you know, and the old guys, nobody knew about nutrition and all that. You know, they just eat a lot of potatoes and bread, drink a lot of milk.
Right.
Which, with my metabolism and my genetics, would have just made me fat anyway. But of course, I was so active, and didn't know, you know, what was necessarily the proper foods to eat and everything. Man, it was tough for me at first to put the weight on.
Yeah.
And get up over 200. You know, I get up there and I'd nudge 200, and boy, then I'd drop a few pounds.
It seems like when you want to gain it, you can't.
Yeah.
And then when you want to get rid of it,
yeah.
That's the hard part, too.
Sure.
The Wrestling Observer, guys, getting back to the wrestling news, is reporting that after having surgery last Tuesday, Bobby Lashley is estimated now as being out for 3 to 5 months. It turns out he didn't have a torn rotator cuff, which obviously would have led to more time out. But, however, his injuries couldn't be fixed through the arthroscopic surgery. So 3 to 5, we're going to see Lashley out. Not
right.
Good. Things like that happen, but...
Let me ask you a question. Did we find out who the genetic jackhammer's kid was last night?
No, but they did go ahead and they had Stephanie come out and reveal that it was a wrestler. And all the wrestlers were surrounding the ring because he was, you know, it was pretty much the same opening as the week before. But Stephanie came out, interrupted in the middle of it and said, you know, that it's a wrestler. Congratulations. And, you know, in a sarcastic way, walked off. So he's looking at all these wrestlers and, you can see Mark Henry's mouth going, it's not me, dude. So he starts to walk away and then he turns and just faces face to face with Kennedy and just the crowd goes nuts. And then he turns around, and then he turns back, and then he turns around and he walks off. So it was a little bit of a tease, and it makes me think that they're not going to use Kennedy because everybody seems to know it.
Well, you know what? That would be the smart thing. And there again, we go back to TNA with everybody realizing what they were going to do with Angle's wife. They shouldn't have done it.
Right.
It makes sense that everybody figures this. Let's go in another direction.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard me, you've heard Kevin, you've heard several of us on this show, the guys from my generation, talk about Leo Garibaldi as a booker, and that was one of the things Leo always said. Kid, you always got to give them what they want, just never when they expect it.
Right.
And therein lies the secret, man.
They started later on to even tease that Ric Flair might even be the illegitimate son.
That would be tough when they're so close to the same age.
I think Vince would have been 3 or 4 years old when he gave
it. Well, that would have made Ripley's believe it or not.
So, I thought that was a little over the top to do that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you there,
yeah.
Doctor.
WWE has come to terms on the releases of Sylvain Grenier this week, and also a developmental talent, I don't know why, but Chantel Malofsky, who's also known as Chantel Taylor, she wrestled with Shimmer, they let him go this week.
Who knows? You know what, Sylvain, he was in the last camp that we did here. He actually got the nod to start training from Pat Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, honestly, he was very, I mean, talk about green when he was here with Doc and I for the week.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw potential, but I don't know, you know, he got better. But then in the last year or so, I haven't seen enough of him to know how much better.
Right.
You know?
Seems like
well, I don't know how they're... I mean, when I say that, when you do... Well, like you just said about Chantel, why? you know. I mean, you know, it's like the Yankees sign a pitcher and his